Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show.
The Cabinet have signed off on a temporary ban on evictions from November until the end of March next year. Darragh O'Brien, the Minister of Housing, said the Cabinet recognises the exceptional times we're in at the moment and the acute pressure on the emergency accommodation across the country, for many reasons, as we all know. This means that if a landlord wishes to evict someone from their property, they will have to wait until April when the ban is actually lifted. Now, there will be exceptions to the ban, including non-payment of rent, but that is willful non-payment of rent. That's the way the wording of the legislation will be. In other words, if a tenant comes to you and says, well, I don't have the money, well, then you can't kick them out. You can only kick them out if they have the money and they're unwilling to pay it. Antisocial behaviour or using the property for purposes other than what it was intended for. In other words, to start operating a business from it. And that was always the case anyway. Basically, if a person does not have the money to pay, they cannot be evicted. However, if someone willfully refuses to pay their rent, they can be evicted. This means they have the financial resources to pay their rent, but are willfully choosing not to. So essentially, nobody can really be evicted unless they're willfully not paying for it. So speaking to RTÉ's Morning Ireland, the chairperson of the Irish Property Owners Association said her organisation is seriously considering going to the courts. They'd have to go to the High Court and prove it wasn't constitutional over the proposed legislation. Mary Conway said, landlords are leaving the market due to the over-regulation and over-taxation, and that association members are very distressed by this news and this legislation. Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, Eoghan O'Brien, said his party will work constructively, I'm sure they're delighted by the way, because this is what they wanted anyway, with the housing minister on the eviction ban to get it right. And if Sinn Féin had the way, they'll probably extend it even further. Anyway, Deputy O'Brien said a ban on no-fault evictions for 4 or 5 months in itself won't fix anything unless the minister also outlines what additional measures he's going to take to increase the supply of social housing and affordable housing. Essentially, the eviction ban will help people at risk of homelessness in the immediate future. However, long-term, it may worsen the situation with landlords leaving the market. So I want to hear from you today, and I want to know what you think of this eviction ban. Do you think it'll make a difference whatsoever? Will it, or do you agree with it? Maybe you're a landlord and you feel now there's nothing you can do. No matter what your tenant does, realistically, you're not going to be able to chuck them out. If you want to sell your house, you can't chuck them out. If you want to move your son or daughter in, you can't chuck them out. If they don't pay their rent because they can't pay it, you can't chuck them out. So you can't chuck them out. You don't really have any rights to chuck them out, certainly over the next 5 months. And they may extend that even further, because I can't see the government doing a U-turn on this in March, at the end of March, because then all of a sudden you're going to have a load of people evicted at the same time. So let me know what you think. Will an eviction ban actually work? The number is 087-188-0008. I want to hear from tenants and landlords as well, by the way. 087-188-0008. You can text or WhatsApp now. You can send us a WhatsApp voicemail if you like. But joining me in the studio is Carl Dieter. Carl is from the IrishMortgageBrokers.ie. Good afternoon to you, Carl.
How are you getting on?
Now, Carl, you've heard this has been mooted for a while. Sinn Féin have been looking for this for ages anyway, right? Uh-huh. So the government have finally done it. France have done this already. They've done it in the past as well. Other countries have done it too. But does it work? Does it make a difference?
In the short term, it does achieve a certain goal, but then it starts to have what's known as the cobra effect, which is where you get the exact opposite of what you were hoping for. So, and when you look at what it does to other people who aren't mentioned, you have to remember there's other people in this equation. It's not just someone who might have to, you know, move out of a property. So I got a call yesterday from an old guy who put his house up for sale a while ago, and he said, you know, I gave all the notice. And he's like, I wanted to sell the house. Give me kids, you know, the few bob. I was like, well, you just have to wait. And he says, well, I might not have time. And then he told me that he has this disease. It's definitely going to get him. And look, that's a different issue. And he says, so what do I do? And what do you say to him? Do it from heaven.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get your chance in life to do what you were hoping to do to help your own family. You look at someone whose relationship breaks down and suddenly, you know, for the sake of keeping your household somewhat sane, you might say, look, I'm going to move into the other house. You're not able to do that now. So, like, it actually... It's always good to have empathy for people that are the people on the rough side of things that happen. And I get that. And that's why, you know, people intuitively hear something like this and they say, wow, that's good, because we're helping the people who are vulnerable.
Yeah.
But there's other people too.
Here's the thing. Is this constitutional? Because according to the Constitution, it has to be for the social good, right? Now, I mean, this is not really for the social good. It's for the good of a certain portion of society who are renters.
Look, this government has shown a willingness to abuse the Constitution in every way that they could, including banning people from travelling certain distances from their home during lockdown. There's all sorts of things that are really questionable that they have done. And really what I think is concerning is they're trying to, you know, outshin the shinners on this one. Like they're going with a policy that is appealing to a different voting base because the people who appeal to that voting base are doing so good. But that's not because those ideas are good. It's just people are frustrated with the government. So, like, why are they trying to...
Well, I suppose to argue the government's point, the reason they're doing it is we're coming to a point now where we've had 52,000 Ukrainian people come into the country. All the temporary accommodation has been used up, essentially, by either them or international asylum seekers. We have no temporary accommodation. People are being kicked out of houses and have nowhere to live. Answer is, we can't have people out in the middle of winter sitting on the streets.
Yeah, but equally, you have some couple who may have gone sale agreed on a house and expecting a baby, and now they're not going to be able to move in because the tenant can't be asked to leave. All I'm trying to say is that there's other people involved here, and we never think about them. Like, if we want to think about anything, why do we think that when rents and prices are so high that all the landlords are running away? Why are they running the other direction if things are so damn good? That's actually the real question.
But there is a picture painted of landlords in this country as these shady characters with cloaks and hats who come and collect the money at the door and threaten you every month. That's not your average landlord. Your average landlord, I assume, is an incidental landlord who might have inherited a house from a parent who died or something like that.
There's a host of things. Here's a really good example of a landlord. An accidental landlord. Two people get together during the boom, bought a house, goes into negative equity. So they start renting it out and they rent out a different house. And now they finally have a chance at home ownership because there's some equity back in the property. They go sale agreed on a house, you know, and now they're saying to the people who you know, may have just moved in quite recently, actually, we're going to sell the house. We want to give you notice. Oh, you can't. And now their sale falls through. And now that affects them. It affects their kids. It affects where their kids go to school. It affects their whole life. Like, we're so good at using a basically simpleton argument to say, what's the first thing that we want? We want good weather. Okay, ban the rain. I mean, it is freaking childhood laughable thinking that's behind this. And the fact that people swallow it as if it's some well thought out, you know, high browed policy, it just shows an inability of the public to think for themselves.
But you were telling me all the reasons why this is the wrong thing to do. And I'm probably essentially agreeing with most of it. But taking the other side of the argument, what is the right thing to do when you have a situation where we have no temporary accommodation? Hotels are nearly full with people. The state is paying for these rooms.
The government should open up all of the empty government buildings. They should open up all of the empty government...
Would you live in a government building?
Pardon?
Would you live in a government building?
I'm not the one saying that I need the government to take care of me. I row my own boat. You know, if I paddle my own canoe,
But you're in a lucky position, Carl. I mean, you've got your own company.
I work 60 hours a week.
I'm not saying you're minted.
I've got all the trappings of a great life. Sleep deprivation, you know, trying to put my kids into school. Yeah. Niall, look, what you see, whatever you think you see, I'm just a person who's probably overworked at the root of it all. And I do pay my own way. And because I do, I think, you know, that's my choice. But if you're saying I want the government to pay my way, then you get what the government has on offer. And that may be that for a while, you know, we open up
living
government
in a
buildings
hub, and living in a hub in a government building.
I'll put it this way. The government are the ones who want to make the rules and make other people pay for it. All I'm saying is the government make the rules, but how about you pay for it? Now, ultimately, all taxpayers pay for it. But let's just be clear. If they want to intervene, why don't they intervene with all the empty buildings they have? Why didn't they intervene by making NAMA provide social housing instead of selling it off to all funds and investors? Why don't they intervene in a million other ways? But they won't. They want to just go for what's easy, clear, and also appeals to one of the sickest elements of Irish genetic kind of mentality that landlords are somehow bad. And that goes back to people burning
thatched
roofs.
But there are bad landlords too.
Of course there are. The same as there's bad radio DJs. You've got
these, as they call them, the vulture funds, or these, you know, multinational companies buying up apartment blocks. Mm-hmm. I mean,
They're not doing it now.
Well, no, they're not doing it now, but they still own quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I suppose in that sense, it's probably not such a bad thing. But you are talking about the individuals, and I get them thinking. In relation to this, I don't know whether you've looked, the legislation is not clear yet as to how it's going to be worded.
It's not clear because it's a donkey legislation. Well, they're going to do is put fancy words around a bad idea.
Okay, but they're saying that you can't boot somebody out unless they're willfully not paying. That means if you can't afford to pay.
Oh, great. Can you imagine what that means?
Yeah, well, if you can't afford to pay, they can't boot you out.
But how do you prove that someone's willfully not paying?
Well, I don't know.
Exactly. No, but I mean, like, so, okay, honestly, how do you prove that?
But does this apply, for example, and we're seeing quite a lot of this at the moment, people taking advantage of the 14,000 tax break that you can get if you rent out a room in your house. Does this apply to those people too?
Renters can rent out for 14,000. Yeah, they can get up to that amount.
Yeah, but does this apply to those families, let's say, who might have somebody renting a room in their house and all of a sudden they fall into a bad relationship with that person? No, and they say, look, we want you out. Can they not boot them out?
Of course they can, because that's not a tenancy. That actually falls under a different section of law. So they can be kicked out tomorrow morning. Zero notice.
Okay, so for those people, not to worry.
No, they should be worried because but they shouldn't be any more worried than they were last week, because that has always been the case. If you rent a room out in your house, let's say you rent to someone and you have an argument with them, the next day you can say you've got to move out, and they have no protection, no rights, no nothing. They're out in the rear.
Okay, so they don't have that same protection from the
RTB. is for tenancies where someone signed up to a lease.
Okay. All right, well, look, I want to know what you think, by the way. You've heard what Carl Jeter thinks. He thinks it's a really bad idea, which is typical of the Irish government. I want to know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Stay there, Carl, actually, for a second. Just throw those headphones on you there, will you, for a minute, if you can. Because I want to go to Peter Dooley, is from the Dublin Renters Union. Peter, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Noel. How are you?
Hey, there you go. You've listened to Carl Dieter, and Carl says, absolutely worst idea out of worst ideas.
Well, you know, I totally disagree with it. Like, you know what I mean? It's a stepping stone to providing that security for tenants. For too long in Irish society, tenants have been treated like second-class citizens. There's over 20% of the population now in private rented accommodation. In Europe, there's long-term leases for tenants. In Ireland, we're way behind the curve on this. Like, you know, we just treat tenants with total disdain. And, you know, I agree with Karen on a couple of points in terms of the Irish government, in terms of what they should have done. They failed us over the past number of years in terms of not providing enough public housing for people. They've sold off public housing stock, which we're fundamentally against, the sell-off of public housing. And, you know, they've opened the market to the corporate landlords to come in and charge extortionate rents and keep apartments empty to keep the rents artificially high. So there's a lot of factors going on that the government have let people down on. But, you know, it's vital that abandoned evictions is critical at this point, because, you know, we've seen homelessness figures spiking. 70% of people forced into homelessness come from the insecure private rental market. It just can't continue.
Okay, but what about the point Carr makes is that the only people we're considering here are those tenants. We're not considering, and the example he gave, say, of a couple who've now got some positive equity in the house that they're renting, moving back into their own home, who might have rented it out because it was a negative equity. They want to move back in. They've gone sale agreed on the house that they had. They want to move back into their house. They've got kids. They've got a family. And now they can't, because they can't kick the tenant out. And when I say kick the tenant out, give the tenant a reasonable period of notice, depending on how they were there. So, I mean, that's a bit unfair. In other words, we're not really taking everybody into consideration. And everybody isn't a bad landlord, or everybody isn't a multinational company or a landlord with a cloak and a hat on them.
Yeah, but the issue is a landlord is making rent from tenants all the time, you know what I mean? So whatever reason they're in it for, some people could be in it because obviously the banks are making an absolute fortune out of it through mortgage repayments, and obviously interest rates increasing. And we know all that, like, you know, and these are the people we should be tackling. Like, there are individual landlords.
No, but you're not answering the question I'm asking you. Peter, you're not answering the question I'm asking you in relation to, I understand the vulnerability of a tenant, and I get that, right? But what I'm saying is there's also vulnerability as well for people who own those properties. You know, they're not all bad people. Some of them are paying mortgages. Some of them are actually losing money, even taking into consideration the rent they're getting because of the high taxes they might be paying if they have their own job too. So realistically, you have to take that into consideration too.
Well, I'm sure there's individual cases there that, you know, I'm sure tenants, similar on the other side, where tenants, for instance, they can't pay extortionate rent at the moment. So everything has to be taken into consideration. It's not like a binary issue, like, you know what I mean? So it is a lot more complex than that. And there are people, obviously, in equity, and I appreciate the difficulty they're in, but, like, obviously, the issue is with the banks. Well, a lot of landlords are mortgage-free, and that's the reality as well. They benefit from extortionate rent over the last 10 years.
Okay, sorry, Carl, go ahead.
He represents a renters' union, so his best interest is completely clear. But Peter, should anyone be evicted?
Well, there are obviously exceptions where people should be evicted. Like, you know what I mean? If somebody's
what are those exceptions?
Whatever, you know what I mean?
What are those exceptions, Peter?
Well, let's say that somebody's, for instance, if they're
let's say somebody can't afford the rent.
He's struggling to answer because he actually doesn't believe it.
Well, that's unacceptable. Like, obviously, if somebody's trashing somewhere, like, you know, they're consistently doing something to somebody's property, that's obviously an issue that has to be addressed, like, you know.
To be addressed.
You know, apart from all the other stuff, there's a lot of other issues there. For instance, non-payment of rent. There could be issues with people in difficulty in terms of paying the extortionate rent. Like, currently, there's new apartments near us to where I live in Harrisburg. They've just come on the market.
I actually didn't hear an answer to the question, though. So.
For a two-bedroom apartment. Like, it's absolutely extortionate.
No, we can't. Well, hang on, Peter. Carl has asked you a question. Okay, so let's give an example. Let's say you have a house and you have a couple in it with two children and they're renting it. And all of a sudden, let's say they lose their job for whatever reason, or something happens. One of them, I don't know, becomes an alcoholic or something. I don't know. And they've no money. and they can't afford the rent, do you have a right to put them out?
There should be support there, whether the state step in. The state are already stepping in terms of, and Carol's well aware of it, in terms of housing assistance payment, which is a transfer of public money every year that's going into private hands, nearly €1 billion this year, rather than be diverted into public housing. And a lot of that has gone for ex-council houses that have been sold off.
That's still not really an answer, though. I mean, like take, for instance, the accidental landlord, and you've got people who, you know, rented out their one-bed apartment, and they finally have an opportunity to move to the area where they want. You know, they may have had children in the meantime, and if they move now, they can get them into the school registration in time for next year. But this rule then stops them from living out their life. What about them?
Well, what about a family who are in rented accommodation?
I want to be clear about, I'm not going to go into an empathy derby with you. Okay, and by proxy somehow appear more noble by according one cost.
If a tenant's in a property at the moment, there should be security of tenure for tenants. Like, if people get involved, for instance, like, there are exceptions where, you know, and which you're making, but that's actually there's probably a limited amount of those people in that position. And
it's actually not. That's the funny thing is people say that there's not.
But
this is one of the largest reasons is because people are selling.
You know, because there's rather be deal with on fact based and evidence based and the people we're dealing with.
Your people you're dealing with, by the way, doesn't make it fact. It makes it anecdote. The national figures are what make it fact.
Okay, well, both of you for a second. Hang on, Peter, for a second. So the government has said this is from the 1st of November to the end of March, 5 months, right? So what happens in 5 months' time? Say there's a lot of, at the moment, currently, there are some landlords, accidental or otherwise, who are planning on selling their properties maybe over the next 5 months. They're planning on selling it next month or the month after. They now can't, right? They now have to wait to evict their tenants. So what happens in March? Then we will have all those people from the last 5 months who were going to be evicted anyway are going to be evicted in March. So what are we going to do then?
I'll tell you what should happen now. What happened previously during COVID, we saw when emergency measures were brought in, we saw homelessness in terms of people in emergency accommodation drop to 7,900 people. Now it's obviously spiking because the ban was lifted. But what we should be working on now is giving long-term security for tenants. And I think, if landlords want to sell, I'm not wishing if landlord wants to sell, for whatever reason you have to sell, but there has to be a proviso that the tenancy remains intact.
So who wants to sell a house with a tenant in it?
The people who are buying the houses want to live in the house. So imagine,
hey, Peter, you're not. You see, I understand you want to get in as much as you can. I understand who you represent, and I appreciate that, right? But Carl makes a valid point. Who wants to buy a house with a tenant in situ? Because the majority, basically, you're going to limit your market to only those who want to rent the house. So if I have a house tomorrow and I have two tenants in it and I want to sell it, and let's say they're there a few years and I give them for 3 or 4 months notice or whatever I have to give them.
And a couple expecting a baby want to move in. You know, this is the kind of stuff, though.
They're not going to want to move in when the tenants are still there.
It's just an empathy derby. We're actually not thinking about root causes here. We're not thinking about root solutions. We're just saying, pick a party, say that they're the worst affected, and then go be more noble by saying that you represent their views. And that's completely wrong-headed. That's not the way actual adult debate occurs.
I would argue, like, as we started the conversation with you, Carl, as well, that I basically said that I agree with a lot of points in terms of where you're standing from, in terms of the failure of the state to provide enough social housing and public housing, the sell-off of public housing, which I fundamentally agree with you in that point of view. There are solutions there, and we've provided so many solutions, such as short-term rents in the city. You're fully aware of them, probably 3,500, nearly 4,000 on Airbnb and these platforms that are currently being let out at extortionate rents that could be brought into supply for people in terms of looking for long-term secure accommodation.
And where does the free market come into all this? Because I'm assuming the Constitution protects the free market. Where does the free market come into all this?
But it's not really, by the rules that you want to implement, a free market. It's not a free market.
Well, it should be. But otherwise, why would a landlord want to be in the business if it's not a free market? I understand the idea of rent caps to some degree. But the idea
is here's an important thing. I want to get back to this. What we have is basically economic Stockholm syndrome, where we keep on believing, do this rule, that'll fix it. So only this week they changed the mortgage rules. But when those mortgage rules were brought out, people said, this is great. It's going to stop people from overborrowing. It's going to stop prices from rising. Prices rose every year. We brought out rent controls. This is great. This is going to protect renters. It's going to stop prices from rising. prices have risen every year, homelessness rises, people who can't get housing rises, all the problems occur, and then a shortfall of supply arises. Now we're going to ban evictions. Oh, that's great. This is. Do you not realise that we keep having the same conversations again and again, believing that a government who can't deliver are somehow going to give us solutions the third, fourth, fifth time around that didn't work the first time? That is actually the definition of insanity.
Rent control point you made about rent controls, because rent controls do actually work, but there's so many loopholes that landlords
they don't. Look at what's happened. By your own admission.
Fundamentally correct. Fundamentally right with.
How have rent controls worked when we're seeing rent spiralling out of control?
And they've driven landlords out of the market, because if you ever gave someone decent rent, you can never get back to parity. You can never get back to normality. You're stuck with what the... I'll put it this way. Rent, there are versions of rent controls that are good. We brought out the worst, most non-working one and people cheered for it. And now look at what's happening today.
Okay, stay there for a second, Peter, if you can. I want to go to Jimmy as well, because Jimmy... Well, hang on, Peter. I know you're dying to get more in there. Stay there. And I do like it. I do like you, Peter, by the way.
I like Peter.
I like you too, Niall.
Peter, you're invited to coffee with me anytime. I'm on Pier Street. Come by.
Oh,
stay,
no okay, problem. Stay, yeah, stay,
no, hang on, Peter. I have to let more people in as well. Stay there with me, Peter, if you can. Let me just go to Jimmy, who's a landlord. Jimmy, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Jimmy, this eviction ban, you know, to March, as a landlord, does that affect you?
Well, look, I sent in a WhatsApp there, Niall, but luckily enough, I'm in a position where we have three properties that are all paid for, so we don't owe any money, luckily enough. The tenants that we have are very decent people. We know them personally for years. It's not really going to affect me. No, I was talking to one of the tenants last week and I was saying it to him. I said, at what stage, I said, are the government going to legislate? I said, for me or you, I said, to go to a shop and fill a shop and a lot of food and take that away. Because I said, as far as I'm concerned, food is every bit as important, if not more so than shelter. But it's going to be illegal for me to take back a house. But it's not legal for me to go out and rob a shop. I said, for me, I said it amounts to the same thing. I said, if you were a tenant in the property, I said, they can't pay their rent. You're talking about probably an asset worth $250,000 that's held ransom for the next 5 or 6 months.
So, in other words, you're saying, if you're going to make it illegal to throw people out of your house who don't pay, or who can't pay, should I say, or for whatever reason you want to sell the property, you might as well make it illegal, or make it legal to go into a shop and take bread and milk.
I mean, what are you talking about, a couple of quid?
It's fair point.
For me, it amounts to the same thing. It is the government are practically legalising tenants to rob their rent.
Look, the government are great at bringing out rules that basically the hammer falls on other people. That's an example of it. And Jimmy's, as a landlord, is probably the worst example of a landlord because his houses are paid for and, you know, everything sounds fine. But imagine, for instance, and Jimmy, I'm just going to make a fictitious daughter. If you have a real one, I'm not talking about her. That you had a daughter and her husband break up and, you know, it's a real bad situation. She needs to get out of there. So you say, you know what, you can go and live in one of the houses until you get things together. I know, you know, things are hard at work or when you lost your
job. I'll give a bit of notice to the tenant.
I'll give a bit of notice and I'll let you live there. You can't. And this is the kind of thing that we forget, is that there's other people involved. This is not a one-sided debate with a one-sided argument. And it's easy to get into the mind of people who have to move out of a house, you know, where they don't want to. It's not as easy to do the mental arithmetic to see what are the knock-on effects of the next case, and go on through it. Because if you did, you'd never think that this was a good idea. But the government rely on people being stupid. They actually, it's great, because if you can't think for yourself and they think for you, you'll always do what you're told. And that's what it's about.
Sorry, just to get me back to Peter Dooley, listen to Jimmy there, okay? And, you know, Jimmy is not your typical landlord, because a lot of landlords haven't paid for the properties that are paying a mortgage. But like as the example Carl gave there, you know, and also what Jimmy said, if you're going to make it illegal, you know, to throw somebody out of a house, or it's the same as throwing somebody out who owes you money, whatever, why not just make it illegal to arrest people who shoplift?
Well, it's not illegal currently under the legislation. That's not part of the ban on evictions.
No. You're not answering the question, Peter.
But that is the question.
What he's saying is,
I'm not talking like this is based on the facts that are here and all, like in terms of the legislation that's presented in front of us currently. But like I think you have to take it back to the basic crux of the argument. And if you look at it, any civilized society should see a home as a social good. If we start at a fundamental point of an economy in a society, that's a fundamental starting block of any foundation of any civilized society, I would argue. And I think it's important that if you take it back to that and start policy based on that, such as look at real proper solutions such as that solve the housing crisis. And none of the party politicians probably we agree with Carol on points in terms of the sell-off of council housing. It's the most illogical backward policy you could ever have. Sell off our public housing stock, built through all our tax public money, and sold off now, and many of them are in private hands of private landlords. Housing estates dotted all over Dublin City and Ireland.
No, I don't think anybody's disagreeing with Peter.
This is what we should start with.
No, hang on. We all know there's a massive problem in the housing market in this country, and the government, by the way, ultimately have to take responsibility for that, right? Because they haven't been building social housing. Okay, but hang on. Jimmy has made a really valid point. And stop coming back to what you're talking about all the time, because I agree with a lot of it. I agree with some of what Carl says too. But the point is, Jimmy makes a very valid point. A roof over your head, food in your stomach is just as important as a roof over your head. There are people out there at the moment who can't afford a decent meal, can't afford food. So why don't we legislate for them to be able to go into a shop and steal food? Why not? Sure, that's essentially what we're saying, isn't it?
Well, who's stealing anything?
Well, if a tenant doesn't want to pay you, that's
the same thing.
Sorry, Jimmy.
It amounts to the same thing if a tenant is either unable or unwilling to pay their rent.
Well, no, unwilling is different to unable, yeah.
If you go to a shop, what generally happens, if you're unwilling or unable to pay, you go to a cheaper shop. Most landlords I know don't shop in Lidl and Aldi. Most working class people who are renters shop in cheaper places.
Well, I don't think it's about us where we shop, but the point he's making is, why not make it legal to shoplift? Because it's necessary to eat, it's necessary to have a roof over your head, and we've just made it legal for you to live in somebody else's house and not pay if you can't.
And now, just to get back in there, at what stage is somebody else's problem not going to be my problem? I mean, look, we can have this conversation, it's a circular conversation. Tenant comes in, can't afford. If I need the house and I need it for somebody else that needs the house, at what stage do I draw the line and say, well, this person is more important than that person? Like, at what stage does that problem stop being my problem?
Well, all due respect, Jimmy, you've benefited hugely from high rents over the past number of years. And
he's a big bad landlord, is he? Is he not entitled to earn a living? Is he not entitled to make a profit? That's a very anti-capitalist thing to say, Peter, to be honest.
Here's the root cause of it, is what you're seeing now come out is the standard Irish begrudgery of, you're successful, I'm not as successful as you, I want your money.
What Peter doesn't seem to understand is I'm charging well below market value for the three properties that I actually have.
By the way, how much? I'm just curious now. You don't have time if you don't want to, Jimmy. How much do you charge your rent per month?
Well,
roughly.
One of the three houses, they're all three bedroom houses, and there's a single man in one of them paying €650 a month.
And that's a house? Is it a three bed house? A
three bedroom house in good condition.
What part of the country? Don't tell me exactly where it is. What part?
In County Cork, in a mid-sized town in County Cork.
That's okay.
So Jimmy is effectively the social welfare system on his own. Like, he's renting places out for below the price.
At what stage do I draw the line and say, well, look, I understand your problem, but why is it my problem?
If you're waiting for the government to make sense, I'll tell you. You want to get yourself a good pot of tea and a few sandwiches and be ready to hold out for a few years on that one. Like, it doesn't. This isn't about making sense. It's about appealing
to base emotions. What type of landlord I was and the kind of profit I am or I'm not making off of this property. Like, I know a few other people. I mean, look, I would be reasonably well known in the town, and I am getting phone calls from misfortunate people begging me, do I know any place? Have I any place for rent?
In a weird sense, look at Jimmy's situation. You know, he's helping to support a single person living in a three-bed house.
At a reasonable rent.
Like, that's to be commended. Instead, we look at people like him, and we look at them as if they're dirt.
Am I going to punish him now?
And then we look at the government, who have hundreds of thousands of houses, and they put single people in a three-bed house, and they charge them the same price as they would charge them in a one-bed house, because the rent is tagged to the person, not to the property. So you get this weird situation where there's thousands of government-owned homes where one person occupies a three-bed house, and then we're sticking six people into a bedsit because that's what came free, because you effectively get a tenancy for life. Like, if we want to talk about the state providing solutions, why don't they start to move around the people within the houses that they control, that they already own, and solve some of it through that? but they won't, because that takes courage. It takes conviction, something they sorely lack. So they'll do it by pushing it out to the other people who do provide those houses.
All right, I got to go to a quick break. You can text us or you can WhatsApp us. Maybe you agree with Peter Judy. Maybe you agree with Carl Dieter or Jimmy. Let us know what you think. Maybe you're a landlord or a tenant. Do you believe this eviction ban for the next 5 months will serve any purpose, or does it just serve a purpose to push more landlords out of the market and punish them? Let me know what you think. 087-188-0008 is the WhatsApp app and text number. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Carl Dieter has remained in the studio because he's so excited by this conversation.
Glutton for punishment is the word.
I've been listening to it all day, and they're all gloating over this. They think this is a wonderful piece of legislation. Of course, Sinn Féin are gloating over it, and many others are gloating over it. Darragh O'Brien is gloating over it as well, saying there's a wonderful piece of legislation that will protect the vulnerable, you know, through the winter months. Is that not a fair point, that through the winter months, I know you're saying it's only temporary, maybe it's just kicking the can down the road, it's putting a plaster on the leaking bucket, but will it not protect people?
Not as much as if they managed their own housing stock correctly, not as much as if they really, you know, grabbed the rose by the thorns and got to the nub of the problems. Like, we have thousands of empty
but they haven't
houses.
Carlos, you keep saying what if the government haven't provided enough housing.
I was just saying there, like, we have thousands of people in government housing today. Not last week or not in the future, today, who are one person in a three-bed house, and we've got thousands of people today who are being packed into, you know, bed sits. And if we actually shifted people around within the existing public housing system, which, by the way, belongs to all of us, yeah, but so we should have a say in it.
Yeah, but who's going to go to Mary in Finglas, who's now a widow, and her kids have moved out of the house, and one has gone to Australia, and one is living in England, and one is living down in Cork or something. Who's going to go to Mary in Finglas and say, you're living in a three-bedroom corporation house for all mm-hmm. the world, or council house. We need you to get out now. We're going to give you a one-bed apartment. Who's going to say that to her?
Anyone with a tap of common sense, because if you want
but
the state
to provide
But she
knows everyone in the community.
Housing, but if you want the state to provide your housing, then they have to have some say on the size
of
the
scope. So if you were in government, would you kick Mary out of the house in Finglas?
Call it kicking out if you like. I would say that we would have a rule which allows people to move within the system, and if you're not willing to move, you have to pay.
Niamh, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids Radio. How you doing, Niamh?
It's Niamh.
Oh, sorry, Niamh. I do apologise. Sorry,
Niamh. You're all right, Niamh. Yeah.
I just thought somebody forgot to put the H in. Sorry, I do apologise.
Yeah, it's grand. I'm a 70s kid. You know yourself. There's something to take. It was an interesting point there. I don't agree with that, lad. I do wholeheartedly agree with the ban, the eviction. It's not a ban. It's a temporary measure. We did this during COVID and nobody fell off a cliff. And it's like, I know and I understand there's multiple angles to this where landlords are saying, I can't evict them, they're not paying. That's actually being dealt with as far as I'm aware. And nobody has a problem if someone's acting the maggot or doing antisocial behaviour, then fine. I'm sure the system will accept to evict.
With the system and the legislation, when it's signed off, and the legislation hasn't been written as such yet because it won't come until 1st November, it will say if they don't willfully pay. So, in other words, it's suggesting if they have the money and don't pay, you know, well, then you can boot them out. But if they don't have the money and they can't pay, you can't boot them out. Now, how are you going to prove that?
Well, obviously, like, it's like everything. This is the 90% of people that will be on the HAP scheme are means tested. There is a procedure already in place there, if I'm not wrong. It's just a matter of actually just checking it. Like, they're supposed to have tax clearance certificates every year. There's multiple angles of
Who are? Not the renters, the landlords. Both. Renters don't need tax. Renters don't need tax clearance.
If you're on the HAP, you're supposed to have tax clearance certificate.
Oh, okay. That's one aspect of it. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect that Carl mentions is, and I think this is a very important aspect, and he gave a great example there of a couple who want to sell their house because, you know, it's in positive equity now, et cetera, et cetera. And they might have a family. They're waiting to move into another house and they might have a tenant the other house has a tenant and then they can't move in. The sale falls through. So other people are affected by this decision. Innocent people who are paying their way through life are affected by this decision.
Yeah, but we're going to be affected whether we put this ban in or not, because these people have to be housed no matter what we do.
But why is it that couple's responsibility? Why is it their social responsibility to care about other people?
Because the government is elected to represent the citizens of the country, not landlords, not multinationals. the citizens. And the citizens are our most vulnerable, need every protection right now, because you know, everyone knows someone who's struggling. And now we're going into this winter of we don't know how much we're going to get taken for by gas or electricity bills.
Okay, sorry, hang on. Carl wants to say something.
There's a philosophical element of rights that I think is often forgotten in Ireland, because we're really good at saying we want to ban this, we want to, you know, take over X or Y. Your most basic rights actually don't require money or to ruin someone else's rights in the process. So the right to not be killed, you know, that is costless. And if someone breaks it, they face a high punishment. But we don't go out and say, oh, it costs, you know, 4,000 a year to keep your right to your own life or your right to your own personal integrity. What we're talking about here is rights that can cost tens of thousands of euro, because they're actually they're follow-on rights. And what they're doing is they're saying, you know, we're willing to trample all over someone else's rights because we have a view that this set of rights is more important in our view. You can't actually prove that that set of rights is more important. Not only that, by encouraging this type of set of these types of rights into existence, what you actually do is get the people most responsible off the hook. And the people most responsible who have been getting off the hook continuously are those who fail to provide public or social housing, and that is the people in charge, ergo the government, and by extension the Irish people, because we don't push enough to raise property tax to finance things like this. We choose instead to have our money go into roads, go into, you know, health, go into a manner of all sorts of things. And then when housing does come up, everyone objects to it. And then when, you know, the housing is built, they say, no, this is awful. Like, it you know what? Truth is, Niall, we actually deserve every housing crisis we get.
Okay, stay there a second, Niamh. Let me go to Trish. Trish, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you, Trish?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Now, you're a renter.
I am.
Okay, how long are you renting?
Actually, only since February of this year. I came home from abroad, but okay. I was renting only before that.
Okay, okay. So do you welcome this eviction ban? Do you think it's a good idea?
No, I don't. I think Carl hit absolutely every nail on the head with this. And I'm not repeating too much. I'll come at it from a different angle, or a slightly different angle. I heard one of the government ministers there 1 or 2 weeks ago say on the radio that the common good is more important than private property. And that just has massive alarm bells, because, you know, where do you draw the line at common good? And we've seen during the pandemic lots of different things being brought in, and people are saying, you know, oh, it's for the common good, you should do this. And I just think that's really very wrong, and you're heading into a very slippery slope to say, you know.
I think things like affordable housing is for the common good because it's common to everybody. But I think to do something for one particular group of people is not the common good.
I don't think anyone ever debates that the common good is too much something that we can't have some agreement on. So housing everybody for the common good, no one will disagree with that.
But when the government are saying, I just think it's a nice little way of the government saying that I'm going to put in some policy that's working in my favour or our agenda in order for, you know, whatever it is that's the issue at the time.
Their own short-term political gain is usually what they're hoping for.
And this is the thing. And you have to question, when this ends in March, do they have a solution in place? No. They don't. And this is the whole root of the problem. And then, when it comes to the constitutional rights, they should be upheld no matter what. And I just don't like that whole thing.
I do believe on that note that there will be a constitutional challenge in relation to this. I know, speaking of Morning Ireland this morning, the Irish Property Owners Association said her organisation is seriously considering going to court. So I think there may be a constitutional challenge in relation to the common good or the social good.
To get through the courts? Yes. I mean, by the time they even do that.
They don't think it's going to be successful, though, because there was another person on another channel this morning saying that.
I did hear her, actually.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Okay, look, I've got to go to break. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. Thank you, Trish. Thank you to Niamh as well. All right, keep texting.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. She always catches me out. Kieran, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How you doing, Kieran?
Right, how are we going, mate?
How you doing, Kieran? Very quickly, go on.
Yeah, like, you're not about the tenants there, no one like that, right? Oh, yeah, I have a house. And I get 900 quid a month, right?
900 a month, yeah.
A month, right? No, my team is I got up to 2,100 quid a month with all the interest rates and hikes and all that. The girl that I get this, she's in there about 5 years. I give them for 900. I didn't put up a penny in the 5 years.
So you're paying over 2 grand in mortgage?
In mortgage, yeah. In mortgage.
And you're renting it out for 900? That doesn't make any economical sense at all for you.
I, Yeah, but I give the girl, I give her six months more than there a couple of months ago. So, what's name, that's up in January. So, I can't sell that house out to get me out of the problem. Like, I'm going on the low as well because of this.
So now I'm wondering actually just very quickly in relation to Carla, I'm not too sure, they haven't written up the legislation yet, but Kieran makes a good point. So if you've already given notice, but your notice doesn't expire till after the 1st of November, where does that leave a landlord? Do you know? No. Oh, sorry, Carl.
No.
I don't know where that leaves the landlord because they haven't written up the legislation because that's retrospectively applying the legislation, mm-hmm. isn't it? Yeah, so I think, so you're saying... So it's going to be, Ruth reckons that from what she believes, it'll be cancelled. In other words, you won't be able to sell the house, Kieran.
Well, do I have to give 6 months more to sell again? Or what's going to happen, you know? Like they're bringing all these rubbish laws there that we can only put up 2% a month and all this crack, like.
Mm. So you believe that your rights have been trampled on?
It's fine. Like, I can only put up, is it 2% a year? Or is it that 900 quid at 2%?
Like, so what are you going to do? Are you going to sell the house, Kieran? Is it?
I'll sell the guy. Where do I stand? Like, do I have to give her another 6 months to it in now, or do I have?
I would imagine so. Yeah, yeah. I would imagine you probably won't be selling the house till next July. Probably
this is like the typical. You know, oh, we're bringing in a temporary health and income levy, and then it's not really temporary. It just morphs into something else. We're bringing in rent pressure zones and rent controls, but it's only temporary. They'll only last from 2016 to 2019. They're baked into the cake forever. Everything the government says, there's nothing as permanent as a temporary tax levy. That's all you've got to remember. And you know what? Landlords, run for the hills. They're coming for you.
Kieran, thanks for that. Now, we got some voice notes as well. Sorry about that, Kieran. I do apologise. But for people yet in Kieran's situation, I can't tell you exactly. But as far as I know, any notice you've already given, as far as Ruth is concerned, and she believes it's been cancelled, it'll be cancelled if it goes past the 1st of November. And then you will have to probably give notice again, I imagine, in March. But the government said that after March, they will be bringing in something to stop everybody piling onto the market at the same time.
Yes, they will, of course.
So they will bring in something else, most likely. And you probably won't be able to sell the house until sometime in the middle of next year, maybe. Even if you get it, maybe not even next
Forever.
Year. That's what someone wanted to do with these messages, Carl. They like you.
Totally agree with Carl. If you're not paying yourself, you take what you get.
You take what you get. Here's another one.
Wait, Niall, I'm listening to your conversation there about the rental accommodation and all that. Now, unfortunately, I can't come on. I'm open at the moment. But I know for a fact, my mother's home, we're an accidental landlord because my mother's in a nursing home. We had people in it last year and they left it in a terrible state. They left early. They didn't finish off the remainder of their contract. I ended up spending a lot of time cleaning, decorating it. The new carpets and blinds and stuff are broken. In general, just rubbish left in the place. They left. They didn't care about the property. And we were told by the tenants, the agency looking after it, that we're better off just taking it on the chin because we'll have no comeback with the PTRB. And it's shocking that they got away with it. Like, we need this money to pay for my mother's care, to look after. We're not wealthy people or anything like that. So it was just, we weren't making money on it. Now, I'm after doing spending over 3.5, nearly 4,000 getting the place right and renting it out to 4 guys. Didn't even increase the rent so that we hopefully get good tenants, and so far it's so good. So we're being penalised as well. So not everybody's in a great situation, you know. It's not everybody making millions out of this. It's only a handful of people are making millions out of it, or making a lot of money out of it. We just need the house to be looked after and need an income from my mother. So that's my reality.
Okay. We get the general gist of that. And just finally, Carl, I think everybody understands the point he's making there. And there is victims in all this, as you say, in every piece of legislation that we bring out. We don't consider everybody. Finally, Carl, one question comes in. Seems you are from the Irish Mortgage Brokers.ie. Somebody wants to know, ask Carl quickly before he goes, his predictions on the interest rates.
Oh, well, interest rates, at least on mortgages, are definitely going up. 100%, because at the moment an individual can borrow for cheaper than the state can borrow. So in other words, the government bonds, if the government went to the market, would probably pay around 2.7%. You know, Niall Boylan or any other hero who walks into a brokerage can probably get a loan closer to 2%. That's completely insane, completely unprecedented. It's not going to last. So basically, rates for mortgages, whatever about what the ECB do, they are 100% going up. That trend has already started. What's going to happen with interest
rates? How much will they go up over the next 2 years, do you reckon?
Based on today's prices, they have to go up at least 1.5%.
That's going to be a big hit for people, isn't it?
Well, to make the price difference between what the state borrow at and what a person can borrow at, that has to happen for anything to remain rational. Otherwise, banks would just lend to the state. it doesn't make sense to lend to you for less when they could lend to the state for more.
Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed. Carol Dieter, thank you for joining me today. All right, so your text by the way coming in. I don't want to go on the air. I'm a letting agent, and this ban is stupid as it serves no purpose other than to throw the issue down the road. I received 6 new termination notices yesterday to give tenants. I also have 11 landlords who are moving back home, and now they can't get their properties back. That's going to be a problem, isn't it? And Carl makes the point of whose rights supersede whose rights? Does the tenant have now more rights as an individual, as a person, not as being a tenant under the label tenant, than a landlord? Two human beings. And we're now deciding whose rights are more important. Anyway, let me just go to Gavin very quickly if I can. Gavin, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Gavin?
How you doing, Niall? How are you doing? Show's brilliant today.
Thanks very much indeed, Gavin. Gavin, just very quickly, do you agree with this eviction ban?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Like, Niall, when you were talking, I was loving to talk to Carl, because I don't agree with the 4%, the increase to 4 times your income to buy a home. The government brought that in as well. The central bank.
Do you think that's just going to run? Are we going to run away with ourselves like
run
another
away,
council?
Inflation.
Could?
Yeah, inflation. Crazy. It's just adding fuel to the fire. It doesn't work. Peter, I was totally opposed to him. It was actually, you know, during your conversation with him, you flagged it near the end of the conversation. The most important thing you said was, what about free market? Free market capitalisation. And he couldn't answer you. And that's the reality. Capitalism is what creates wealth, jobs, and keeps an economy going. And we're moving down this big socialist push, and the government are getting roped in because Sinn Féin are growing in the polls, and the younger generation is tuning to Sinn Féin because they're making them false promises. You know, like,
I think a lot of people may be turning to Sinn Féin because they want to change. Is that?
Yeah, no, I agree. No, that's what I mean. They think that when they come in, that they're going to bring in this big change where they're going to build 100,000 social housing, and they're going to bring in healthcare, and they're going to do like. It's easy when you're on the opposite side of the bench to make promises.
Of course.
But it's capitalism that creates this. Like, you need investment into your economy for the economy to work and grow. Now, because of what's going on in the world market right now, the investment's actually drying up. Like materials of prices for goods and services have gone through the roof. And their government's answer the whole way through lately is to print more money and make it worse. So like, they're not making a better.
But what do you say, and I'm just taking the opposing argument, what do you say to people during the winter months and at this particular time where we have not only a housing crisis, but we also have a cost of living crisis now and an energy crisis and all sorts of crises going on? Wouldn't be Ireland if we didn't have some sort of crisis. But what do you say to those vulnerable people who are out there who are in fear of a landlord saying, well, I want to sell up now. It's November. Can you be out before the middle of December, you know, just before Christmas and the cold months? And realistically, when you look around and you look at daft.ie or whatever, or myhome.ie, there's hardly anywhere to buy. There's hardly anywhere to rent. They're not going to find somewhere to live at a short notice. So what do you say to those? But what do we do? We used to have lots of temporary accommodation, but we don't have that anymore, as you well know. So what are we going to do?
Well, the only answer to an oil is, and the government will never do it, is you'd actually, and you're going to laugh at this, because this is the only way you can actually fix the whole problem. You'd have to bring in a new marginal rate of tax for everybody, like a new proper income tax. So people on low income would have to pay a higher tax rate, and people on higher tax would have to pay higher again. In order to bring in universal healthcare, childcare and housing, to build the housing that we need, because the reality of it is there's 100,000 people on that housing list, there's 10,500 people in emergency accommodation. So in order to fix it,
but Ireland is already in a bad situation, Gavin, whereby living in Ireland as it is expensive enough. Now, don't get me wrong, we have great social care. Our social welfare system is probably one of the most generous in Europe. But in saying that, you know, for those who are working, or the squeezed middle, as they call them, they're already paying tax. They're pinned to the collar when it comes to property taxes, VAT on their goods, income taxes, you know, stealth taxes. They're already paying enough. They can't pay anymore.
Yeah, I'm a landlord. I was a landlord. I'm one of these people.
I know what I'm saying, but you're saying pay more.
No, but the reality of it is, Niall, is because people, the big word here is empathy, right? The big word is empathy. It's how do we deal with the system going forward? And their government don't want to deal with it. So they bring in this eviction ban to keep everybody happy till March.
Well, it doesn't keep everybody happy, in fairness.
Well, but Niall, I did say this to you a couple of weeks ago when I was on the phone that you were going to do this. This won't be abolished in March or whatever. This is going to be pushed on. This is permanent. This is election getting. This is all about getting votes. It's nothing to do. Like, beyond no illusion, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, political parties, they don't care about the lower class or the poor class in the economy. Like, they never did.
They don't care. They care about their vote, yeah.
Yeah, they care about their vote. That's all. And the fact of the matter is, their vote over the last donkey's years has been from middle-class people, people like me, a pay away tax. And now we're saying, why should I vote for them anymore? Like, because they want, like, landlords are going to leave the market. They're already leaving the market. Now we have to make...
Well, people will argue that the French have done this before during the winter months and landlords didn't leave the market.
The French have a far better system than Ireland, Noel, now, in fairness. Like, the French's system is, like, far superior. Like, for instance, if the French government rent your property, if you're a landlord, Noel, right, and the French, this is a big, big thing that's not mentioned, Noel, so if the French government say to you, Noel, I'm going to rent your property for this family that's homeless, and I'm going to take it on a 20-year lease, long-term lease, and you're like, right, grand, and you'll get 1% above inflation or whatever it is every year, like, it'll be because the rent's frozen.
So, in other words, yeah, you're guaranteed it, yeah.
Yeah, guaranteed it. But when I say guaranteed, I mean that if that tenant that's living in that property stops paying the council in France rent, the French government continue to pay the landlord. But in Ireland, if you have a tap tenant and the government are renting your property on a 5-year lease, I say €2,000 a month, for the property, if the tenant stops paying that €60 a week, the cheque stops coming. They stop paying you.
And I've heard that before, which is grossly unfair, by the way, in landlords. Gavin, stay with me for a second, because I want to be very quick on this, because I want to move on a second. But Elizabeth, just on the other side of the argument, you're saying, thank God for the ban.
Yeah, hi. I'm a tenant. I've been for the past 10 years. And I agree, it is just kind of a Band-Aid, but something has to be done now, because the situation is just... so bad, it's so dire. I'll tell you my experience. Our landlord gave us notice to sell. We had 7 months to find a new place. In that time, I applied every single listing on BAFT, every site, went to every leasing office. Not one reply. We were lucky enough to find one person because my husband knew somebody who was leaving the country and moving to England, that we could take over his apartment that he currently owns. That we had to move to a different county, everything like that. Come to find out, our apartment was not sold to a family or a person or anything. It was sold to another company that has been buying up all these properties, renovating them slightly, and then putting them up for rent for €1,000 or more than we paid.
So they didn't want the property with a tenant in it, yes?
No, they made us leave, but then the listing has just come up that... they're charging $2,500 now, and we were paying $1,500.
Okay.
They knocked down a wall and put in some, you know, new furnishings and things like that. So, so I have sympathy for the private landlords that are doing, you know, good and abiding by their, you know.
But is it fair, Elizabeth? And I understand the situation you were in, and it must have been a very difficult situation for you and your family, right? So I do understand the situation that many people who are vulnerable find themselves in, that they're sitting there and one day the landlord comes along and says, listen, sorry about that, 2 months notice, out you go, I'm selling up, or I'm giving it to my daughter, or whatever, right? And that's a really difficult thing to do, you know, and it's a really difficult thing to take if you're in that situation, particularly at the moment where there's nowhere to bloody rent. But why is it the landlord's fault that the government, this is the argument people are making and Carl Dieter makes, why is it the landlord's fault that the government have made a hames of housing over the last 10 years?
I mean, it is, you know, the government's fault, but also the whole system in Ireland of the landlords with private property renting them out to tenants. It's kind of odd to me as an American, because you would see in the US, they'd be, you know, there's not this kind of stigma against renting, I guess, in America.
Do they have, I know they have Section 8, which is social housing, but do they have similar to the HAP scheme, which is the Housing Assistance Programme, whereby they give people rent rent out private properties? Do they do that?
They do, but it's more based on local governments or state governments or things like that. But the thing you see a lot of in America is, I guess what you would call here kind of, you know, apartment complexes owned by companies that would rent them out. I guess you're seeing them more coming in here. But you would just go in and get an apartment. There's never any, you know, problems. But it's just the shorting of housing here and everything. And I don't know, you know, I mean, probably mostly the government's fault. But
do you feel any level of sympathy at all for genuine landlords who may have been planning to sell, who want to get out of the market? Maybe they're not making money. They could be losing money on their property. Some of them are if they're paying high mortgages. Do you feel any element of sympathy for them that they now are stuck with a tenant, no matter what the tenant essentially does? Even if the tenant turns around and says, I can't pay anymore, that they're kind of stuck to leave them there. Do you feel any level of sympathy for them?
I mean, I do, but also I don't see, I mean, there's so many social benefits that you could apply for too. I mean, rent supplement is something that, you know, if a tenant can't pay because their circumstances have changed, they should be applying for that. So I do feel some sympathy for the landlords, but it's just, I guess, hard.
Okay. Just very quickly, Gavin, you've heard Elizabeth's circumstances, and you know, it's a genuine circumstance. You get notice, and literally, Gavin, I've seen Daft. You know, there's hardly anything on it, with the greatest respect. And they are the most popular site.
But Niall, that's capitalism, that's tough.
But you can't just say that's tough when you've got Elizabeth and her partner and I don't know who else looking for somewhere to live and a roof over her head.
Go down the country then. If you can't afford to live in Dublin, move out of Dublin. I'm just saying that's the reality of it. If you can't afford to live in Dublin, move out of Dublin.
But she shouldn't be in that circumstance because the government have a responsibility to provide enough housing for the citizens. That's their job.
Yeah, but not the landlord. The landlord doesn't have to provide. It's not up to me to provide our problems. You just said it. If the government don't build social housing, that's not my fault. That's not the landlord's fault. What have I to do? Say, God, poor Elizabeth. So let's just have free rent in my house. If he doesn't pay it, it's not my fault. The government have. And that's what's the point of being a landlord then? What's the point in running a business then? The truth is, the state don't build social housing. They want us to rent to two people. And then in the end, I'm moving down this policy where you have companies, like Kennedy, where big monster companies coming in, building apartments, but they only want Google and Facebook workers because they only have they're $3.5 grand a month on Barrow Street and they're
I know they're building them across the road from us here,
but
yeah.
That's not my problem.
Just finally, because I have to move on, but Elizabeth, he makes a fair point. It's a free market. You come from the land of the free, so you should understand that more than anybody. It's a free market, you know, and Gavin, as a landlord, should be entitled to do what he wants within the realms of the law, give people a decent amount of notice. But if he wants to sell his property or move his daughter in or do whatever he wants with it, that's his property. He should be allowed to do that. Because somebody made a really good point earlier on, I can't remember which call it was, Jimmy I think it was, said that if we're going to legalise the idea of somebody who can't afford to pay the rent staying in a property, essentially we may as well just legalise shoplifting. Because we're essentially saying to people, you know, housing is important, and if you can't pay for it, sure, that'll be grand. We won't throw you out. Don't worry about it. Well, then, if you can't pay for food, should I go into a shop and just steal it? And sure, that'll be grand.
I do agree that if you're renting a property, you should be paying for it. And if, you know, something happens and you can't, you should be looking for those social supports to do that. I agree with that. I don't think that, you know, no one should not be paying their rent. But the problem is that it's not even anymore about affordability, being able to live anywhere. There's no place to live. There's hundreds of people applying for the same exact place. So even, you know,
and I agree with you, and that's a huge problem. But the point Gavin is making is, it's not his problem.
Yeah, I understand that. I can see that point. I can see his point in that.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a whole other topic about someone making their income off the rent of someone else. But that's a topic for a different day, I guess.
It is. And I think we'll all agree to differ in the fact that if the government weren't making a hames of it and created the housing crisis in the first place, we wouldn't be having this conversation today anyway. But listen, thank you very much indeed, Elizabeth, and I appreciate you coming on the air. And thank you, Gavin, as well. You both make very valid points.
Real people. Real opinions. Real Talk Radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.